Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is still in the miracle-working business. God bless you, dear brothers and sisters. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today as we continue on in a message, God's Glorious Church. And it's been such a focus on my heart, what God wants to accomplish in His people, that He is going to have a remnant. He's always had a remnant who are going to love Him with all of their hearts and with everything in them. They're going to desire to be like Jesus, to ask God to do that cleansing and perfecting work in their lives. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lead us in the way everlasting. We need the constant presence of the Holy Spirit who comes into our lives and into our hearts. When we accept Jesus, we are baptized into the body of Christ. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit into that spiritual organism that was birthed on the day of Pentecost. Every believer of every age, regardless of their station in life, regardless of who they were or weren't, they're part of God's glorious church. And beloved, God wants to do such a work of love, welding us together in the unity of the faith, in the bonds of love, with that same commitment and single-hearted devotion to the Lord that the early church had. And even in a greater dimension, I believe, Jesus said, you're going to do greater works, didn't He? Because I go unto my Father. And so, as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were on the theme of what happened on the day of Pentecost. And when Peter stood and proclaimed, these are not drunk as Jesus suppose, seeing it is about the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken through the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. See, everyone's included, men, women, young, old, and on my servants and handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Huh. Well, it doesn't sound like that God's intention is that for that to cease. There are them that say, well, you know, all this was just for the early church. Now we have the Word of God. Beloved, we need the Word of God, yes, indeed, but we need the Holy Spirit, His empowering, His fullness in our lives. God was very clear to give instructions to Paul to speak about the gifts of the Spirit. You read his advice to the Corinthian church. That did not pass away. The fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, until we all come into the unity of the faith. That has not happened yet. And so, beloved, as I've said from time to time, we are an independent full gospel ministry by what definition, you could say Pentecostal, but beloved, I do not align myself with any camp in the body of Christ. I believe that the more we focus around the person of Jesus, that's going to draw us together. Divisions and strife and thing of the past will fall away as we begin to major on what we should and not major on the minors. And we're pretty good at doing that. That's why we have, I don't know how many denominations there are. And what a sad thing it is for a new believer in Christ. In fact, I had a friend, it's like, okay, he had a tremendous experience of God. Now, what church should I go to? He had no religious background. He didn't know where to go. You can see it's quite a dilemma. And God is wanting to bring us back into that simplicity, the purity of the Word of God, the quickening of the Holy Spirit. How can we discern these things? By really, that's why I spent all my time on ministering the Word of God, because it's by the Word you're going to know the things of the Lord. And so, and we see in the second chapter of Acts that The church was not a divided, fault-finding group of misfits. They were the living spiritual organism, the body of Christ that was given birth by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. He said, "It's needful for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit's not going to come. But I'm praying the Father to send him." And so the first miracle that occurred after the resurrection was that of the lame man who was healed by God's power through the apostles Peter and John when they were going into the temple to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's very symbolic of the church. Here was this man lame. He couldn't walk, but he experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. As Peter declared, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man did, leaping and jumping and praising God. I should ask a question today. Can we say that today? Do we have the power of God to say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk"? Or are we more concerned about prospering with silver and gold? I'm starting to meddle now, I'm afraid. Just think about it, saints. Just as that lame man was healed that day, it's God's will for the church today to leap up with great joy and praise and magnify the name of the Lord. Why? Because he set us free from the law of sin and death, and he's called us, you and me, brother and sister, he's called you to go out and proclaim the glorious gospel of the kingdom of God. That's why he birthed the church, so we could do those greater works, not greater in quality, but certainly in quantity. We find in Acts that the believers were added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Notice the phrase, believers were the more added to the Lord. In Acts 2 and 41, we're told that 3,000 were added to the church in one day. So this tells us that the church was made up of people. It's not four walls. It's not a denomination. This church was not an elite group set aside from other Christian assemblies. They were of one mind, one heart, one spirit, and they were added unto the Lord. Praise God. Oh, I hope you're getting a vision of what is in the heart of God. The head, our head, the Lord Jesus, is in heaven. And he, just as the head gives to the body directions, so we are to receive our directions from him. And he's given us the beauty of his word to give us counsel, to give us understanding, how we can walk in the ways of the Lord, how we can be able ministers of the gospel of reconciliation. That's every single believer. How godly elders, those who are called as bishops, leaders in the body of Christ, how they can have a heart after the Lord, how they will have, God said even Jeremiah, he was going to give us shepherds after his own heart, godly shepherds, leaders who would love God and love the saints of God and care for them and be alert and diligent and speak the truth against the wolves that would try to encroach and fight for the weak and the defenseless. This is God's plan, but it's all to be motivated not for desire of acclaim or to have, you know, sometimes we try to sound so spiritual, but beloved, what's really operating is pride and spiritual arrogance. Look at me, look at all we're doing for God. Beloved, the more Jesus would increase in our lives, the more we will decrease. As John the Baptist said, and Jesus said he was greatest, there wasn't one born of woman that was greater than John the Baptist. The word apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos, and it means to be set apart, to be commissioned by Christ. And an apostle, as we see in the early church, they had miraculous powers. He that is sent. How is he sent? By God. So any fivefold ministry is given to a man by the Lord, not by the congregation, not by elders or presbytery. An apostle is one sent of God. And God is raising up unlikely people, just as he did in the early church. They were offended with the disciples because they were ignorant fishermen. They hadn't gone through the school of study with as the Pharisees did or the Sadducees. They were basically ignorant of the law, and they shouldn't have the right to do what they're doing. They were offended that they would do miracles. That's why they were persecuted, beloved, because we must be on guard against the religious spirits. Those were the harshest words that Jesus ever spoke, were to those, the religious bunch. They hated Jesus, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, because he would not work according to their law, their custom, their traditions. They found it so offensive that he would eat a meal and not wash his hands as his disciples. Like, how could you do that? How could you do work on the Sabbath? And Jesus said, is it lawful to heal? I mean, if you have an ass or a donkey and they fell in a ditch or a sheep, you're what he called them, hypocrites. Wouldn't you go and get them out? Well, shouldn't it be appropriate that a daughter of David should be healed, or a son of David be healed? In other words, some Israelite who was in need. You can see why he lost his patience with them. The Pharisees came into being during the second century BC, and they were proud and they were pious, they were zealous, they were quite self-righteous. They were more in number and influence in Jesus' day than at any other religious group. They were strict observers of Old Testament law. The Sadducees were Jewish also. This religious group denied the resurrection of the body. They scoffed at miracles. They scoffed at the existence of angels. They believed only in the written law. The Pharisees were strict observers of the Old Testament law. They also demanded that a man follow the oral traditions handed down from generation to generation. And because Jesus rebuked them, they hated him. Beloved, we need to come to a place that we will reverence the living Lord Jesus Christ. We will be willing to put aside petty differences. We will be willing not to judge, but we will God allow the Lord to fill our hearts with love and allow ourselves to be guided by the principles of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's my earnest prayer. Well, we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast, and I have something really wonderful to share with you that I found. And I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information. If you send an email, if you would like a personal reply, I ask that you include your mailing address so that I may respond to you. I will, however, pray for your needs and confirm receipt. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.